Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us for Center Stage Nonprofits of Tucson. I'm Danielle. I am so excited that you're here listening in. We're going to have a great show today talking with Nicola Hartman, the CEO of Sister Jose. And I also want to say a special thank you to Job and Sons Plumbing for sponsoring our show today. So, Nicola, thank you for being here. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here today. Thanks.
Awesome. So we've talked a little bit just before we started recording about what Sister Jose is and what you're doing in the community. Can you tell us a little bit about how it started and kind of what the inspiration was and then what you are doing in the community today?
Super. So the center was started in 2009. At that point, it was originally just in a little house, but it was started by our founder, Jean Fedigan, and she had been helping to serve meals to men in the community, homeless men, and asked one of her friends, what happens to the women at night? Where do they go? And they said, well, there's nowhere for women to go. And she is quite a feisty woman and didn't think that was okay. So she started going out and finding women and serving meals and was able to invite them to a small Southside church to come in and spend the night. And volunteers would come in and stay with the women. Well, that continued, and she wanted to do more, wanted to serve women, thought that, oh, maybe there are like 10 homeless women in Tucson at that time, and then came to realize that there were a lot more. And through some inspiration and a little bit of fundraising, she started the center. And it is named after Sister Jose Habde, who was a Native American nun that served the poor, and that was her focus. And so from that little, you know, church and then little house, we're now in our current center at 1050 South Park, serving a lot more women. Unfortunately, homelessness has only increased and has not gone away.
You know, it's interesting that you brought up the question that started it, because everything starts, you know, with one question, with one need that you see, and, you know, just the question of where do the women go, and then being able to build something from that. That's a really powerful story. And, you know, I just want to say to our listeners, when you have something like that, that, you know, that pulls on your heart and you're asking the question of what happens here, being able to do something about it. I mean, I'm sure when she started it, she had no idea what it would become.
Oh, no idea. I still think she still talks about that. She has no idea, you know, that we're serving more women than ever before, you know, a 40% increase over the prior year. So we're just seeing a lot more women who are unhoused and need help.
And you've talked about the numbers just increasing. And I mean, it's great that you're able to serve more women, and it's great that you guys are there to do this. But do you have any idea why we're seeing so many more that are needing services?
Yes. So we are seeing a lot more women. A lot of it is the rental crisis. So we're seeing a lot more older women. A third of the women we serve are over 55. And that is a big change. We have women, have had women in our center who are 80 plus. Wow. You know, last year we had a woman who was in her 80s and was blind. And, you know, so how does a woman like that end up on the street? You know, for most of them, they're first time homeless women. They're, you know, they had a nice, safe rental space, or maybe they were in a mobile home, and then suddenly the rents double and triple, and most of them are on a fixed income, many are on Social Security, and they just can't afford it. So they find themselves on the street with their last of their belongings and nowhere to turn.
And when they come to you and they get connected What kind of services are you able to provide to them?
So great question. So we have a day program and an overnight program. So 6 days a week between 9 and noon, we open our doors to welcome women with dignity and respect, so where they can get a warm shower, do their laundry, have breakfast, get some emergency clothing, and then connect to other services so we can get them eventually, hopefully, housed. But sometimes just the dignity of, you know, a shower and then hopefully accessing your you know, documents like your license and getting a birth certificate really gets you moving forward. And so we're also open in the afternoon, especially in the summer. That serves as a cooling center and a place for women to rest. And then in the evening, we currently have 42 beds, and women can stay in the center initially for about a week. And then if they're moving forward, trying to get those documents, trying to get connected with services, they stay longer.
And how many women do you typically see during the day programs and especially afternoons during the summer?
So we're seeing about 100 women during the day program, and then more women in the afternoon, the summer. They come because they can sleep. We put down sleeping mats for them, besides snacks and a nice air-conditioned space. Most women on the street don't sleep at night because it's not safe for them. Unfortunately, the street is very violent, and many of our women experience a lot of violence and trauma on the street. And, you know, we'll have a woman come to our center and she's had everything stolen, down to the shoes off her feet. It's shocking to me how many times we have a woman arrive at the center in the morning and with nothing, and including no shoes, which is pretty horrific.
Well, in mentioning some of these traumas and the things that they're having to deal with every day, are they able to get free counseling to work through the trauma of what they've experienced and try to help them move forward?
We don't have enough trauma support. We're fortunate that we do work with El Rio, and they do come in, you know, one morning a week to counsel and work with our guests. They also provide some medical care, so that's very important. But it's a very hard road, and so we at least try to be that place where they're welcome, where they feel safe. They, you know, we know them by name, and so that is really important. One of the things that I found particularly shocking when I first got to the center was the number of women that we serve that have mental health challenges. I used to think, oh, it's like 20%, but I've really come to learn that it's more than 75% of women on the street have mental health challenges. And so it's really hard to see them on the street when they really should be being cared for and getting the services that they need.
Yeah, and as those resources become available, then it's great that you're able to connect them to what is available. And it sounds like there is a need, if any listeners are counselors or if they're working for someone who might be interested in partnering, it sounds like there's a big need for that, and it would be a great partnership.
Yep, there is.
The
we have case navigators and caseworkers that are on site. And a lot of times it's just knowing someone cares. You know, when you see, you're less likely to see a homeless woman on the street than a homeless man. But when they have a safe space to come to and to feel like someone cares, then they're more receptive to maybe moving forward, getting some additional help, maybe, you know, accessing some of our mental health providers in the community too.
Yeah, that healing, I mean, the healing process is so difficult, the healing journey from any kind of trauma, but it needs to have a foundation of being cared about. If you don't have that, I mean, how could you even start?
Right. That's I think it's something we all need.
We do.
And we all
yeah.
need a person and a place to go where we know they just care about us. And that, I think, is the one thing that Jean built at the center as the founder, that we talk about being a center of love. And I really love that part. We also welcome women and their pets, so we're the only center that does that. For a lot of women, if they have to leave their pets, they'd rather suffer on the street. And so by being able to welcome, you know, cats, dogs, an occasional bunny, people feel really good about coming to the center. I walked by a woman that is staying at the center today, and she was laying there with her dog snuggled up, you know, on the cool floor of the center with a mat, not just the floor, but with a mat, and snuggled up with her dog so they could both escape the heat.
Yeah, that is so awesome that there is a place for them to go and to experience that and to just have a place of peace to rest. If someone is needing services, if they're, you know, maybe someone listening has someone that they know that could use services, how do they get a hold of you? How do they get connected? How do they get those services?
Definitely, they can always call the center.
What's the phone number?
520-909-3905. And, or, you know, if they know somebody, you know, they can advise them, you know, come to the center between 9 and noon. That's when we offer most of our services.
And that is a walk-in time, right?
Well, that's our walk-in time, exactly. Okay. And then on Tuesdays and Fridays, we also do a lottery. So it depends on how many beds we have available and how many women are seeking shelter. We do a lottery, and we've been full.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that. We are going to be back in just a couple minutes right after the break to talk more about how you can get involved and get connected to Sister Jose's Women's Center. Thank you so much for being here today on Center Stage with us. We have Nicola Hartman, CEO of Sister Jose Women's Center, and she's here talking a little bit about some of the resources that are available to women who are currently living on the streets, that are just needing a place to come in often and cool out, or cool down, I should say, from the heat outside, or just to have a place where they're loved and they know that they can come in and be accepted. So do you mind telling us just a little bit more about the services that you're providing? And then also, if someone wants to get involved in volunteering, what might that look like for them?
Super. So, you know, we definitely welcome women and, you know, give them breakfast, whether it's a hot breakfast or a cold breakfast. And, you know, if once they're leaving for the day, make sure they have a lunch so they have something to eat if they can't access other resources. So we go through a lot of water in the summer. So we're always welcoming donations of, you know, Gatorade, anything with electrolytes, water bottles, sunscreen and hats. In the summer, that's probably the most needed item, are those basic sun accessories, unfortunately. And then we thrive and survive with volunteers. We have a very small staff, and our volunteers come in and help our guests access services. They welcome them at the door. They serve them breakfast, help in the kitchen to prepare meals for the evening, and help them select clothing, sometimes do arts and crafts with them in the afternoon during our cooling center time. So we're always needing more volunteers. I think we normally have about 15 volunteers every day. And we have people who pop in now and then, and people who come back to the center on a regular basis to help. And if someone's interested in volunteering, they can email us at volunteer@sisterjose.org to learn more. They can also visit our website, which is sisterjose.org, to learn more about applying and seeing what shifts are available.
And you said that on a typical morning, you may see around 100 women who come in, and then in the afternoons when it's hot, even more.
Well, so it's a little fewer in the afternoon because sometimes during the daytime in the morning, we may have someone who just got housed but doesn't have enough money to do laundry or eat. And so they're still very vulnerable. And in the afternoon, we shut it down and we make it only available to guests that are unhoused. And so we're seeing a lot of women, though, just a lot and more than we ever have before.
A lot of women who need a little bit of love and understanding and acceptance. And so it sounds like if someone wants to volunteer for something a little bit out of the norm, like if they know how to crochet and they want to teach women to crochet, it sounds like there could be opportunities to do things like that, or just to come and to talk to people and love on people and be a smiling face for them.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We do have a volunteer that comes in every Wednesday afternoon and is teaching quite a few women how to crochet. So that's fun. We've had other people color or do things. It really depends. We have one volunteer who reads to our guests. She has a little mini book club going on. So really our key, when volunteers go on vacation, which we let them do, we're always a little panicked because some days when we don't have enough volunteers, we have to shut down some of our services. And we never want to do that because we want our guests to know that they can come and count on us for help.
Yeah. If there are people that are interested in giving, you said waters are big, Gatorade or something with electrolytes, Powerade, similar drinks, and anything to keep you safe in the sun, hats and sunscreen. If they want to drop those items off and donate them to you, do they need to call ahead? Do they come during your open hours?
Anytime somebody shows up with water, somebody came in this morning and brought us 5 cases of water. It was huge. So we're at 1050 South Park, which is just north of 22nd Street. So if somebody shows up pretty much any time between 9 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they'll always be somebody there to say, yes, thank you. All those things. But normal donation times are Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturday mornings. But again, we're not that strict about our donation.
And I know, just the way that things are today in the world, if you're making food for people, it typically has to be in a specific kitchen. So bringing homemade food probably is not a great idea. But if someone wanted to come in and that was what they wanted to do, is come make those breakfasts and lunch, is there opportunity for that as well?
Absolutely. We have, a huge need for people to help prepare food. We do oatmeal every morning and cut up fruit for our guests and boil eggs. So that is huge. And then we have a kind of a different crew that come in, show up about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and maybe they'll make dinner. And sometimes people will say, well, I can't make dinner, but can I bring in pizza or sandwiches? And absolutely, again, all those things. And we are very frugal. If we have leftovers, they get used. But all those things that really make a difference. We're always looking for the pop-top canned foods to give to our guests who are on the street. And that's their meal. And having a pop-top can, they can access dinner that way. That really is good.
And things like snacks, can you take snacks, granola bars or, protein bars, different kind of walk away type snacks that they can take with them?
Absolutely. All of those kind of individual things. And sometimes someone will bring in big bags of potato chips. Well, we can put those into little bags. So all of those things, we are very fortunate. The community is very generous and, the food changes because of our donations, but that's good. So people can always bring in food. Again, you're right. It can't be made at home, but they can come in and cook there if they want to do that too.
Yeah, it sounds like no matter what you're passionate about or no matter what your skills are, there is something that you could do that you can volunteer and help out. And since this is a women's center, can men also volunteer? Are there any restrictions on where they can be?
A little bit. So obviously they may not be helping with clothing, but we have probably the majority of our chefs are male. In fact, I just left today and Jim Murphy, who used to own Kingfisher Restaurant, was there making turkeys. So we have opportunities for male volunteers, cooking and helping. We have a donation center which needs sorting. So we welcome men. I think it's helpful for our guests to see that there are a lot of good men in the world, especially when they've been victimized. And, you know, we deal with a lot of women who've been subject to domestic violence or violence on the streets, trafficking. So for them to see a nice man is a good thing.
Yeah, that sounds like it would make an impression. It would make a difference for them.
Yes.
And do you have any events that are coming up that you would like to talk about and invite our listeners to?
Absolutely. So August 8th, we are having kind of a coffee with the CEO, just to talk about what's going on with homelessness in our community and nationally, and what we're doing as a community to help. So that is August 8th. It's going to be at Dedicated Bakery. And if someone is planning to attend, they just need to email us, let us know so we can make sure we have enough coffee. And they can email emily@sisterjose.org to let us know that they'll be coming.
And if someone is working with another nonprofit that has possibly resources that could be helpful where you can partner together, would this be a good opportunity for someone to come and get to know you and get to know the team?
Absolutely. So this is the first time we're doing this. And so I'm hoping to see some friendly faces so I can share some information about that. But yes, I mean, we are very fortunate to partner with a lot of good nonprofits. And that's what's the best part about Tucson.
Yeah, there's a lot of people here who really care. And, you know, I think that a lot of people forget how easy it can be to make a difference. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I don't have a ton of extra money. I don't have these huge skills. And so they just don't do anything. And, you know, this is making it really easy. If you want to make a difference, if you want to help someone's day be just a little bit brighter, it can be as simple as a smile and welcoming them into the center, or, you know, doing something that you enjoy and just spending that time with them so they know someone cares. It doesn't have to be a huge thing, just giving your heart and your time.
Right. People can volunteer once every now and then or on a regular basis. You know, they can bring in a package of cookies for our guests, you know, water, you know, a case of water goes a long way and is very much appreciated.
Well, and I will say that the grocery stores have had all kinds of sales on waters lately. So if you see that and you think, I don't need all this water, we know who does. So if you get it, you can pick up lots of water and drop it off for Sister Jose. They will take it.
We'll take leftover water for sure.
Thank you so much for being here today. Again, we had Nicola Hartman, the CEO of Sister Jose Women's Center. And if you are interested in getting involved, you can visit their website.
Yep, sisterjose.org, or email emily@sisterjose.org also. And or volunteer@sisterjose.org. So we answer the phone. We welcome you to stop in anyway.
If you'd like to hear more about Center Stage, Nonprofits of Tucson, or if you'd like to listen to the podcast later, you can find us at Center Stage Tucson or centerstagetucson@gmail.com. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.